At Mark chapter 1, I'm going to go right into this, and let's go Mark chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 40. Come on, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. You can take notes on the YouVersion Bible app on the QR code behind me. You can get a physical Bible if you just want to get up and grab one on the sides as well. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Holler at me if you're there. All right, holler at me if you need some more time. You need more time? Woo, I need more time. Mark chapter 1, you can follow along on the Jumbotron. Mark chapter 1, a man with leprosy came and he knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed, begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. With a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you, along with an offering required in the law of Moses. He's talking about money again, y'all, all right? Jesus. In the law of Moses, for those who have been, see, y'all are quiet today, huh? That's okay. We'll talk about coffee later. And this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. This will be a public story that you have been cleansed. Verse 45. But the man went and he spread the word, proclaiming to everybody what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out of secluded places, but the people from everywhere kept coming to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this word. I thank you for this season that we're in. The Holy Spirit, help us to lean in. Lean in on Wednesday nights at summer small groups. Lean in on the daily bread in your word, in prayer. Help us to lean in today's service. The Father, I ask you today, change our mindsets, change our hearts. Father, cleanse us, heal us. And I pray our city will want to go find Jesus. People from everywhere are going to want to know this Jesus. In your name I pray. Everybody said, amen and amen. Title of my message today is More Than a Fix. More Than a Fix. I don't know about you, but I'm not talking about getting your fix. How many of them I'm talking about? I wish I could tell you every single morning I need my fix. And I wish I could tell you that was like God's word, and Lindsay and I do that every single morning, and our devotionals and things like that. But can I be honest with you? When I wake up, my first fix is coffee. Can I get an amen? Amen. I need my fix for coffee. More importantly, I need to make sure Pastor Lindsay, my wife, I got to make sure she gets her fix. She has to have coffee in the morning. Could I get an amen? One night, it was like 9:30 at night, and I grabbed my keys, and Lindsay went, where are you going? And I said, I got to go to the store. She goes, why? What can be so important that you need to go to the store at 9:30 at night? I said, we're out of coffee. She said, go. Go, Jeremy. I said, we're out. I'm sorry. I need my fix. But that's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about today is a lot of us, if we're really honest, we use Jesus as getting our fix to a solution, to our circumstances, to our, like, Lord, I need this now. I need you to fix this. See, really, can I be honest with you? And this is summer, right? Can I be honest? This is summer, and y'all are quiet, and that's okay. You're journaling. I got it. And but the reason a lot of people don't want Jesus is because they just want their fix. Have you heard the term friends with benefits? This is a Jesus with benefits. This is a, I just want a Savior to make it all good. Jesus, just fix it. And then when he fixes it, we go our way. We go, woo, ha, close call, and we go right back to what broke it. We go right back to what what destroyed it. And we want to fix, let me be honest with you, I am in the same boat. We want to fix a peace. Man, I want a fix of relief. I want a fix of hope. And most of us come to Jesus because we want him to fix something. And this is what's so good about Jesus. He wants to fix it. Jesus fixed my marriage. Jesus fixed my family. Jesus fixed my finances. Jesus fixed my job. Fixed my spouse. You know, like keep your elbows in, please. You know, fix my body. Fix my mind. Jesus, fix my solution. And hear me. Jesus wants to, and Jesus will. But here's the main idea in today's text. Jesus didn't come only to improve your situation. He came to make you clean. Amen. He came to make us clean. He came to clean us up. He came to restore us. And the question this morning is, do you want Jesus or do you just want what he does for you? Do we just want, I just want my healing. I don't want the healer. I want the gifts, not the gifter. I want the one who can restore, but I don't want the restorer. See, a lot of people want Jesus near enough to help them, but few people want Jesus close enough to change them. And this is where we go from believer to follower. This is where we go from believer to a disciple of Christ. This is how we move forward. If you were here last week, to move forward feels a lot like moving backward because it's a bow and arrow effect. And Jesus is the one who's going to pull us. He is the one that's going to refine us because he cares more about our soul than our situation. I'm preaching good today. And then, so in that, there are three movements in today's text that is the answer I believe we're looking for. And the answer is, how do I move forward? I feel bad. I feel like every sermon this summer is going to be how to move forward. You know, because that's our theme of this year is how do I move from believer to a follower? How do I move forward from just believing, yes, you're all good, Jesus, fix it, to someone who you have a relationship with? And so there are three postures. There are three movements that are in this text. And let's look at the first one, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy. Let's talk about that in just a minute. And he came and he knelt in front of Jesus. I want you to picture this. Sometimes we read scripture and we just read it. But let's put ourselves in the story that here is a leprous man, a sick man, an unclean man, busting through the crowd, breaking protocol, kneeling before Jesus, begging, saying, if you can make me clean. And he says this word, if you are willing, you and only you can make me clean. So number one is, it's the cry. It's the cry. It is, can I just be, I'll be honest with you. No, there's no cry that isn't ugly. Can I get an amen? Like, you know, there's the cry of our heart, the cry of our response, the cry of the desperation of this leprous man. There is a cry. Now, in order to understand the depth of this situation, let's look at leprosy. Leprosy was a word used for a variety of similar diseases. And so some forms were contagious of leprosy in the Bible. A lot of times they would lose feeling in their limbs or any extremities. It would happen in stages. And they would go, they would lose feeling, they would go numb, and then it would often die off. It would often fall off. Sometimes they've been missing fingers or hands or arms or legs or different parts of their body because of this particular leprosy. That was the more severe form, but check this out also. It was also used for disfiguring, some deadly, but also some, it can be as innocent as a worm under your skin or even a rash. Even a rash. But regardless, let's look at Leviticus chapter 13. If you had leprosy, and modern day leprosy for us is, I just don't feel God. I'm just numb on the inside. But look at Leviticus chapter 13. It says in verse 45, those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing, leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially. I'm deaf. Okay, whatever. English is my second language. My first one is boop, boop. And they must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. So they were not clean enough for community, for church, for people. And they had to stay outside the camp, outside the city, outside the walls, because they were unclean. They were unclean. So the leprous man comes to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you'll make me clean. You know, this week, or matter of fact, just yesterday, Lindsay and I, we got spoiled. And we got to see little Silas Alanson, Matthew and Brittany's second baby. Come on, somebody. Silas. Man, Lindsay held him. I just love newborns. Come on. I just love it. Just little tiny baby. And just a handsome young man. And then I got to hold Silas, took a few pictures. And all of a sudden, Silas just went, oh, you're my pastor. You know what I'm saying? Like, every baby goes, you're my mom, you're my dad, you're my pastor, you know? And as I was holding Silas, all of a sudden he went, made a noise, and then, and Silas had his first blowout on his pastor. Come on, right through it all, come on. I know, right? That is peace. Come on, somebody. Come on, through it all. And I had a first blow. It reminded me of when I first became a dad, and Lindsay had to run an errand, and I was with Levi, and he was a newborn from one of my first times alone, and he had a messy diaper, and so I put him in the bedroom on his changing table, and I was like, all right, I got this, I could do this, and, you know, first time dad, and so I got the diaper out, oh, big old nasty diaper, I've changed him, and I went, woo, like this, and I'm, man, this is tough, and he's squirming, and they don't move, they squirm and move around, and so I've told the story before, and so I pop it on there, put his onesie on, and I was like, I did it. Come on, like, oh, the vignette, you know, and I put him in a stroller, and I said, I'm going to walk him. I'm going to go the extra mile. Not only did I change him, but I'm going to walk him. And so I was walking through the neighborhood with my son and just going on a little walk, and I saw a neighbor. I was like, hey, neighbor, what's up, man? Good morning. And they were just kind of, hey, you know, and I was like, this is not a very friendly neighborhood today. If something's off, come on. And so when I got home, Lindsay pulled up in the driveway, and I said, babe, I changed him, and I went on a walk. And she looked at me, and she went, oh. And I went, what? What's so funny? Come on. Like I can do this. I'm a good dad. And she said, no, go look in the mirror. So I went to look in the mirror, and what did I have? Big old duty on my forehead. Just a big old turd from, somehow I got on my hands, wiped my forehead with it. And so I'm just walking around the neighborhood, say, hey, what's up? What's going on? I should have been walking around saying, unclean! Unclean! But hear me, wouldn't that be so much easier if we just walked around with our sin? Liar! Okay, I can't date you. But I want you to see what this man says to Jesus. I want you to catch this. Look in the text. He does not say, Jesus, if you're willing, will you heal me? He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, heal me. He says, clean me. Desperation will have you cry out, not just your symptom, but the solution. The symptom is, this is what I need. The solution is, this is who I need to be. I'm unclean. That everywhere I go, I have to tell people, unclean. Get away from me. I can't be near you. And he says, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being unclean. And people were terrified. Listen to me. People, I found this so fascinating. In the time of Jesus, people were terrified not of the disease. They were terrified of what the disease did. They weren't terrified of losing their limbs and all. They were more terrified of what the disease brought them, and that was humiliation and isolation. They were terrified of isolation. He doesn't want his symptoms fixed. The leprous man wants his life back. Because there is power in isolation. And there is power when you're forced out of community. There's power. There's a reason why in 2020, the pandemic gave us all trauma, jacked us all up, because we were meant for community, not isolation. Amen. And when you get isolated for such a long time, it will change your perspective. It'll change the way you look at people. It'll change your life. And I'll be honest with you, their content is everywhere. I can go on the YouVersion Bible app, which someday I will be on that home screen. You'll see my ugly mug. Hey, I got a word for you today. Come on. You can go on TikTok. I guess there's a Bible version somewhere beyond the dancing. There's a Bible talk. Instagram, YouTube. I think TBN's still on. I think that's a TV channel. Trinity de Bracket. You know what I mean? Like, you can go anywhere and hear a good sermon. You can go anywhere and hear God's word. Content is everywhere, but community seems to be nowhere.
That's so good.
Where's community at? Where's community at? Online audience, I love you. You're part of our online community and you're staying connected, but where's the physical touch? Where's the high fives? The hugs. Think about this leprous man. This leprous man was probably desiring more than anything just to be touched. Just for life. Just for community. You friends, I'm going to be honest with you. You can't get that in a podcast. You can only get that by the Holy Spirit. You can only get that in the presence of God. Now, hear me. People have been saved and healed watching us online. I never discount that. But don't underestimate the power of community. Community is huge. And look at Mark chapter 1, verse 40. The man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. And Jesus was moved with compassion. He reached out, touched him, and said, I am willing, be healed. Now check this out. Jesus touched him. Jesus risks contamination. I'm just not like that. I mean, it's like, I've had people, like, they come up to me for prayer, and they're like, Pastor, I need prayer. I'm like, let's go. What do you need prayer for? I think I have a fever right now. I'm like, okay, praise God. You know, like, hallelujah. I think of a rare form of contagious disease. Okay, we're holding hands right now. Amen. But Jesus risked contamination. Listen to me. He risked being unclean so the man could be clean. He risked being unclean so the man could be clean, but also not just physically, like the healer, you know, the healer's not going to get sick. But let's take it a step further. Jesus didn't only risk physically being unclean, but he risked spiritually or religiously, ceremoniously becoming unclean. He risked that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we can be made right with God through Christ." So Jesus risked it all so that we can be made right in his sight. But I want you to keep continuing this. Let's talk about after the response. So this is what Jesus says. So there's the cry, but now here's what's fascinating to me. Here's the command. Here's the command. So the leprous man cried out, "If you're willing," Jesus says, "I am so willing." And then Jesus heals him, and then Jesus gives him a command. And let's look at the command. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. So Jesus went, "I'm willing, be healed." And he said, "Listen up, listen up, listen. This is what I want you to do next." And he gives him a stern warning. "Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along an offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." You have been cleansed. Now, here's the thing. This, I began to research this and said, why in the world is this happening? Because we know the story. The man never went to the priest. The man was so excited that he began telling everybody, "That guy right there healed me. He's here. The Messiah is here. Miracle working God is in our midst. He's here. He will heal us." And the reason why Jesus gave a stern warning is because Jesus said, "Listen, don't tell anybody. Don't ruin the surprise." Have you ever had a surprise party and you got that big loudmouth family member? "Can't wait for the surprise party." And you're like, "Ah." I've had family members, look at me, camera. I've had family members that I have not told them anything because I know they will ruin the surprise. Amen, you know. I didn't even know, yeah, because. And if you didn't know about the party until last minute, that's because you're the surprise ruiner. That's why. Come on. But Jesus knew that he only had 3 years of public ministry. Jesus knew he had a deadline and a timeline. And Jesus knew if he ran off and he said, "He is here," it would be the wrong time. But catch this, but because of the man's cry, Jesus had to give a command because Jesus was moved by compassion. I wonder if the inside of Jesus was like, "I can't do this right now. The time isn't come." He said the same thing to his mom. His mom's like, "Jesus, they're out of wine." He's like, "Mama, come on, you can't get your wine fixed. Chill, mama." And he had to turn water into wine. Why? Because it's not my time. I can't do it yet. And why was he so concerned about the timing? Because Jesus knew, and I wrote this down, Jesus knew that miracle fixers are going to crowd out the spiritual seekers. Because Jesus wanted to go to town and preach the gospel. But because of the leprous man's excitement, whoa, look at this. And he had every right to be excited. If I get healed up here while I'm preaching and I get 100% hearing back in this year and I get 100% hearing in here, the hearing aids are coming off and service is over. You're not getting a sermon. I am done. I'm going to go play Marco Polo. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to play hide and seek in the dark. It could be amazing. But Jesus wanted more for the man. In verse 40, he says, "This will be a public testimony if you go to the priest that you have been cleansed." This will be a public testimony. What was Jesus really telling him? He said, "Go to the priest. So let the priest redeem you so you can go back to living." So not only am I going to heal you, but I need to clean you. Not only did I heal you and clean you, but I need the priest to redeem you so you can go back to living. Go back to being a father, a brother, a son, an employee, whatever that is. And I wonder if today's leprosy is isolation, then I wonder if community is the healing that we need. If the healing is what we need. Because I'll be honest with you, 2020 hit, we're all locked up. 2021 comes, and man, we did our best. We wanted to come back to church as quick as we could. And when you rent, they hold your destiny when you rent. And they're gracious for us. We were so excited. And I'll be honest with you, it was like a family reunion for those that stay connected. For those of us that stay served, you know, serving online, the texting, the Zoom calls. It was like a family reunion. It was like, we're back together. This is amazing. But for many that didn't return, it felt like a funeral. It felt like a funeral. There was a lot of grief involved, a lot of hurt involved, because isolation will cut you off from living. And Jesus didn't just want him fixed or healed or clean. Jesus wanted him fully restored. He wanted to give him a health certificate. He wanted him to be able to go back into the temple and to give an offering and to worship and to serve and to hear God's word again. And so what he does is he says, yes, I'm willing. Yes, you are healed. Yes, you are clean. But now I have some next steps for you. Because I love you more than your healing. I love you, and I want to give you life and life to the full. So he gives him some next steps. That happens to us every single week. We raise our hand and say, I need Jesus to heal me and to clean me. And God goes, here you go. You are instantly forgiven. You are instantly forgiven. You are instantly a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we still have some next steps. Maybe that's getting the Bible. Maybe that's getting water baptized. Man, maybe that's getting into a life-giving community. Maybe that's small groups this Wednesday, joining us for summer small groups. Maybe that's telling somebody about Jesus by Tuesday. Like, not next month, now. Like, tell somebody. We all have next steps. But here's the fair warning. Jesus knew, and this is what I wonder. Jesus knew that temporary excitement was not sufficient. He's playing the long game. He's playing the long game. Because he said, don't tell anyone. Instead, go to the priest. Let him examine you, because this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. So healing was instant, but restoration wasn't. He has some steps to take. And that is part of discipleship. The believer wants the fix, but a discipler, a disciple knows their steps to take. Lindsay and I, we've known Jesus for, man, we've been in ministry over 20, 25 years, and it's been an amazing journey. Can I just tell you, I'm still a disciple. Amen. I still have steps to take. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to understand. I'm still allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in my heart. But here's the thing I love about this text. Jesus didn't heal him halfway. He because healed wasn't home. He wanted him to go home. And he knew in order for him to go home, he had to be restored by the priest. And so he gave him a stern warning. He said, hey, don't get all excited. Tell everybody about me, because I have a good work to do. And because he told everybody, Jesus was unable to preach the good news. But then on the other one was Jesus said, I need your life back. So I've healed you. But man, there might be some steps you have to take. You might have to say sorry to some people. You might have to forgive some people. And this is my last point. I have three C's because I'm a really good pastor. Come on, somebody. And it's to cry, it's to command, but then the last point is it's a choice. It's the choice. It's the choice. It's a choice. As a result, large crowds surrounded Jesus. He couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to Jesus. And I want you to see what Bruce Barton says. He's an excellent theologian. This is what he says. He said, if crowds descended on Jesus to see miracles accomplished or to benefit from his power, they would not be coming with a heart attitude needed to hear and respond to the gospel. To the gospel. Jesus did not want to be a miracle worker in a sideshow. He wanted to be a savior of their souls. He didn't want to just be a healer in a sideshow. He wanted to be the savior of their soul. He says this in Mark chapter 8. He tells his disciples, listen to me. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'll heal you. I'll restore you. But what benefit do you have if you don't give me your heart? If you don't give me your soul, is anything worth more than your soul? And so Jesus wasn't saying, don't tell anyone I healed you. It was because Jesus knew that a crowd chasing miracles would never hear the message that serves them, that heals them, that saves them. Friends, Jesus didn't come only to improve your situation. He came to make you clean. He came to heal our soul. He came to heal our soul. And can I give you a gentle pastoral moment? Can I say a phrase that it might seem alarming, but it's everything that I find in the text. And this phrase, is this okay? All right. Sorry for the message today. It is like I thought, oh, how fun. And as I studied and saw this, I went, wow. Wow. I don't know if a believer is going to like this message, but I know a follower will. And here's the phrase. You can be healed and still go to hell.
So good. So good.
You can be healed and still go to hell.
Wow.
Trust me, I checked and double-checked this phrase. And it's all throughout Scripture. You can get your fix. You can get that symptom changed or healed. But if you never give him your heart, if you never give him your heart, man, you can gain the whole world. But if you don't give him your soul, your heart, then what's the point? Then what's the point to this? What's the point? In Luke chapter 17, there's another situation, just like in Mark chapter 1. In Luke 17, it says that Jesus continued toward Jerusalem. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Didn't even touch them, didn't even heal them. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed, woo, of their leprosy. Man, I see this in the Old Testament with Saul. The priest said, I want you to do A, B, and C. I want you to go down to the hill, find the worshipers, and I want you to worship with them, and then God's going to change you. And Saul believed it in his heart, and when Saul turned to do the instructions or to do what was commanded, to make the choice to say, I'm going to obey, God changed his heart. Same thing here. Maybe God is giving you instruction, but because you don't have evidence, you haven't moved. And here Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And they're like, we're unclean. And all Jesus says in this text is, go, show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. They were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus. And he shouted, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Then Jesus, and Luke says, the man was a Samaritan. Not the redeemed Jewish person, not the redeemed. He was a Samaritan, despised. Samaritans were despised. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10? I healed 10, but only one? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Watch your mouth, Jesus. Except this Samaritan, he's making a point. And then Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. The same word here in the text, healed, the same word for healed is the same word for salvation. Jesus said, didn't I save? Didn't I heal 10? But you, not only are you healed, but you are now saved. There's a phrase I want us to walk away with today. Are we fixed but not found? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me for seeking your healing and not the healer. Forgive me if I was like that leprous man, had to cry in my heart, fell to my knees, said, Lord, if you're willing. But can I just be so honest with you? I am so grateful for the grace and for the mercy of a man, fully God, fully human, sent by the Father, his one and only Son, to die on a cross for us, that while we're still sinners, he died for you and he died for me. The same man that looks at the leper looks at us today and says, I'm willing. I'm willing to heal your marriage. I'm willing to heal your heart. I'm willing to heal your mind. I'm so willing to do it today. But you got to make the choice. But he doesn't just want your body. He wants your heart. John 16. It is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of their sin and of God's righteousness and the coming of judgment. You know why many of us, we don't go from belief to follow, or many of us, we don't go just from healed to saved. Many of us, we have a hard time because salvation confronts us. Conviction doesn't feel good. Remember, condemnation means that's the devil saying, you can never change, why try? Just keep on living that way. But conviction is, hey, this right here, yeah, it hurts, but I died for that. And I want to heal that. And I want to take that. And not only do I want to heal you, but I want to restore you. I don't want you to deal with that sin anymore. I don't want you to deal with that addiction anymore. That the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so you may have life and life to the full. That sounds a whole lot more than healing. That sounds like restoration. And so he said, I'm willing. To the leprous man, he said, I'm willing to his body. But today, we just bow our heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to say it to your soul, to your heart? I'm willing. And I wonder today, if we ask the question, Jesus, Will you cleanse me? Will you come and cleanse me? If you're willing. And he's saying, I'm willing. Jesus, will you restore me? He says, I'm willing. Jesus, will you heal me? I'm willing. Jesus, will you save me? I'm willing. I'm willing. There's a cry, there's a command, but then there's a choice. I feel impressed in my spirit to do this. Will you just stand with me, please? And this is summer. And we're going to take some time this summer. Will you be like that leprous man? And will you come to Jesus, not just say, will you heal me, but will you say, will you clean me? That leprous man, he had to yell out what was wrong with him. I'm not going to make us do that today. But I wonder if you need to step out into the aisles and come to the front. Not for your church, not for your pastor, but for you and your Jesus. That I want this front area up here to be the cry. And the cry is, Lord, if you're willing, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Will you heal me? Will you clean me? Will you cleanse me? And will you just come up here and will you just, don't look at me, but look at the Spirit. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, restore me. Posture your arms and your hands as an act of surrender. To say, Holy Spirit, do a work inside of me. Forgive me for seeking your healing. I want to know the healer. Building. Come on.
You can have it all. We're open to receive the love. Here I am. We're open. We're open.
Here I am.
You can have it all. You can have it all. We lay it at your feet this morning, God. Here I am. You can have it all.
But I want you to hear this quote. People are not lost because they're too bad to be saved, but because they will not come to Christ so that he may save them. I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll convict you. He's not going to force himself on you. That's a choice you make today. Be healed, but still go to hell. But us all pray this prayer. And this prayer is going to be your prayer. It's going to be the cry of your heart. And let this be the moment you're healed, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and then you take your next step. Go see the priest. Your next step might be get signed up for a small group. I'm busy. You're not busy. Go join a small group. You're distracted. I don't know what to read the Bible. Get a Bible. Start reading it. Please start in Matthew. Start praying. Start talking to God. Start journaling. Find community today, now. Because God just doesn't want you healed. He wants you restored. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Jesus, say thank you for dying on the cross. Say, I repent of my sins. Say, be Lord of my life. Say, the best way I know how, I'm going to live for you. Because I now know I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm a child of God. Come on, everybody, high five somebody.